Julie Green is the editor of the Village Emporium and a freelance graphic designer, and she is our guest today. So good morning.
Good morning.
Well, just got in, just got into the afternoon. Finally, we got here, Julie. So it's great to talk to you.
Very nice to be here.
Very, very nice to have you. So going back to your childhood, what made you interested, or was there an author that got you interested in reading?
Oh, many, many authors. I spent hours in Shenfield Library. I think I liked all the old sort of Edwardian books, really, by E. Nesbitt and P.L. Travers, Mary Poppins. There was an American writer called Edward Eger that I really loved. And then a bit later on, I read The Once and Future King by T.H. White, which I absolutely adored, and it's still one of my favourite books.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I haven't not been reading a book since I was about five, really, you know, so I was petrified of the librarian at Shenfield Library, though. You know, she was very, very strict if you had a book overdue. I do remember that. It's burned in my memory.
Did you pay many fines in your time?
Well, you don't pay fines when you're a child. I think you just get a stern telling off.
Yes.
Every Saturday morning, I used to try and creep in and not be seen by her, but to bring back my books.
You say in your biography that you sent over that you left school too quickly. What did you mean by that?
Oh, well, I went to Shenfield. Well, it was called at the time Shenfield Technical High School. I think it's just Shenfield School now. I'm not sure. And I probably should have just stayed on, gone to university. But I was, by that time, I'd moved some, I think we'd moved to Gidea Park, and I was commuting. I was fed up with getting on the train. So I went off and did a vocational course rather than the traditional A-levels uni route. And, you know, for a few years, I thought it was a terrible thing. But actually, it was a very good graphic design course. And I kind of, other than a few rackety years when I was being a barmaid and things like that, you know, after my college career, I've been in graphic design ever since, either as an employee in a studio or mainly self-employed freelance. So, yeah, it's been, and it's, I still really enjoy it. I don't think of stopping at any time, you know, so, and while clients did ask me to do work, I'll carry on.
So tell us about the work of a graphic designer. What kind of think projects you're involved in, and what you do on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, well, of course, I've got the magazine on one hand, which now takes about 50-60% of my time, I suppose. The rest of the time I'm doing work for mainly local customers. I do work for a very good local music festival called the Roman River Music, and they run this Roman River Festival in Colchester and surrounding villages. It's mainly classical and world music. So I do their posters, their publicity, their sort of theme for every year. They have a different kind of theme. And the chap who runs that, Orlando Joplin, has just started an arts organisation called Wild Arts, which I think is sort of opening out to do more diverse types of music. But he's holding a lot of summer opera evenings around Essex and in fact the country at the moment. So I've done they've got an opera by Donizetti called The Elixir of Love, but the theme they've set it in the 1950s, so I've done a very kind of like a 1950s film poster.
Yeah.
Like think North by Northwest, you know, with Cary Grant, or the theme tune to Bewitched, the theme title for Bewitched, if you remember Bewitched.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of that sort of vibe. So that's been really fun, but mainly a lot of my work over the years has been business to business for people like people who manufacture commercial dishwashers or sell minis or make endoscopes.
Yeah.
I did a lot of work at one time for Keymed, who are now Olympus down in Southend. So it's mainly, I don't do a lot of digital stuff. I do mainly print brochures, leaflets, flyers, branding, logos. I also write copy for brochures because I used to start putting in copy for visuals that I'd done.
Yeah.
Thinking the client would then replace it with their own. And then they say, well, that's great, we'll use that. And I thought, well, I'm missing a trick here. I should charge them for it. So that's how that came about. So, yeah, it's so I sit here just at my lonely little computer.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a night worker. I tend to sort of mooch around and prevaricate for 3 hours in the morning and then start work at 9 o'clock in the evening. But I've kind of done that for 30 years. So, you know, the phone doesn't ring at night. So that's, I find it's, I don't know, I just find it better.
Now, we're going to talk about the Village Emporium magazine. Uh-huh. So first of all, tell us about the history of the magazine and then how you became involved.
The magazine was started by a lady who lived in a village nearby. I live in Great Braxted at the moment, and Janet lived in Wickham Bishops, Janet Gilbert. She started this magazine, I'd say, about 12, 13 years ago. And it's a sort of a community magazine with advertising. And it's her sort of unique selling point that is that she only distributed it to villages. And that's what we still do today. So she sold advertising, she got some editorial in, but she couldn't do any of this herself. She just did the sales and sort of setting it all up. So I started work for her doing the design and artwork for one of the magazines. She had two editions at that time. And then I gradually started writing articles for her, taking more and more work on for the magazines. And then very, very sadly, Janet became ill. She got bone cancer. And over the course of the next 2 years, she basically, you know, decided that she didn't want to carry the magazine on anymore. So another girl, Sarah Case, yeah, who also did some work for her, she and I approached Janet and said, could we carry it on? And we'd like to buy it from her. So we began the process of buying the magazine. Unfortunately, Janet deteriorated quicker, I think, than anybody envisaged and got an infection and sadly died in hospital just before COVID hit us.
Mm.
So we took over the magazine in January of 2020. It was a very sad time, really. But, you know, going forward, we thought, you know, this is our new enterprise. And then in March, we went into lockdown. Yes. So it wasn't a very auspicious start for the magazine. But, you know, 3 years later, we're still here. And yep. Sarah and I are 50-50 partners in the magazine. We have three editions now. We started a new edition last year, which seems to be going well, more towards the Colchester area. We print 9,300 copies of each of the three editions. We've got a little team of about 30-odd distributors who go and deliver them door-to-door. It takes up quite a lot of our time, really.
Tell us what's in the magazine. Tell us what features and what you do. Because I know you mentioned about a tea room feature, which I would love to resurrect that and go out for you. Which
I know. Sounds really good. Well, we used to always do a tea room review. But I think, frankly, we went to every single tea room in the areas that we sort of covered and did the reviews. And we, you know, I think that series sort of ran to an end, and basically it needed to, because there's only so many cakes you can eat, really. And only so many things you can say about cakes. You know, they're all lovely. You wouldn't go and say, you know, this cake was rubbish or anything. But you know, we had a nice time. And we used to have our production meetings in the tea room that we were going to be writing about at that time. So we did that. We've done some pub reviews. I mean, obviously, our magazine, we fund it by selling advertising. Mm. And some of the local tradespeople, like electricians, plumbers, builders, solicitor, you know, and various professional companies like solicitors, financial advisors, they've been in our magazine going, you know, 10, 12 years. So it kind of works for them. But we don't want it to be just crammed full of adverts. So we do try, and people like Sylvia here come in incredibly, you know, it's fantastic to tie up with Sylvia, because she sends me lovely book reviews. We have a book, a page called A Good Read in our magazine.
Yeah.
And we try and put a couple of reviews of books in, and we far would sooner have a local author featured there. So this issue we've got two people that Sylvia sent us reviews for, a lady called Beryl P. Brown and another lady called Cherry Burrows. And we've also got a review of a new book by another local author called Mark Butterworth, and that's called The Pearl River. Mm. So yeah, it's fantastic. So we set up those pages. We hope we put in a lot of interesting content. We've got a little article on Monty Don this issue. We've got a recipe from the Hairy Bikers. We are featuring open gardens this time because May, June is the time that people go out and about. Mm-hmm. So we've got some lovely gardens featured, and we've got gardens on the front covers this time. So we put a lot of work into trying to make it an interesting read for people, as well as something that people hopefully will sell their services through. Yeah. You know, we think we help local businesses quite a lot. So
now I have to say, at the end of your biography, there was a couple of things and I went, wow, this Julie Great, she sounds like a very interesting lady. I mean, already interesting when I read the very start of everything. But then I read these bits at the end. I was like, wow. Now, you were on Mastermind.
Yeah. My husband, unbeknownst to me, put my name forward. I think it's because I shout at the telly when it's on, you know, when people don't know it, the right answer. But it's so blooming easy to shout at home, isn't it?
And what was your chosen subject and where did you come on the show?
When people ask me this, it's very, very rare. But I expect Sylvia will know this, and you probably will, Michelle. I did it on one of my favourite authors and a series of books this guy called E.F. Benderson wrote, and they are the Map and Lucia books. They were actually, they've been televised in series a couple of times on TV, but they were written by in the, I think about the 20s.
Yeah.
And they're set in a fictional town, but it's based on Rye. And it's basically about a dozen or so people, very wealthy, middle-class people, gossiping. And that's pretty much all there is to it.
And where did you come in the show? Where did you come? Did you win? Or
I think I was second. You know, unfortunately, I did have a recording of it and I've lost it. But I got 24 points and I think I came second. And my husband and two friends who came, they had to sit through three episodes of it, you know, being recorded. Annoyingly, I would have won either of the other two episodes, but there were three guys on with me who were amazing. One of them has been a runner-up in the year, a couple of years before, I think. Yeah. So it was good fun.
There we go. That's the Mastermind. And we've got to get through very quickly because we're running out of time on the old Zoom here. But you got married on TV.
Oh, gosh, yes. I just thought I'd throw that in. I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, I hope I didn't make it look like I married Ainsley Harriet. It was a programme that the BBC were making about throwing a party. I mean, it was a couple of decades ago.
Yep.
And Ainsley Harriet was the host. And I was planning a party for my husband's birthday. And I wrote to them and they said, you know, great, we want to show people how to throw a party. But, you know, it's not really enough just to have a birthday party. Have you ever thought of getting married? And I thought, well, yeah, I probably have actually. So we had a huge surprise wedding for my husband on television.
Yep.
Poor bloke. I know. It was funny when it was televised. But it was televised. Terry Wogan, who was still alive at the time, said on his breakfast show, did you see that poor fella? Oh, my God. How does he make...
And you didn't marry Ainsley Harriet. That's just, he was just the host of the show.
I didn't marry Ainsley Harriet. He was kind of the presenter of the programme, really. Yeah.
Excellent.
It was a fancy dress party and it was a Hollywood theme.
Yeah.
And I was dressed as Marilyn Monroe, the sort of the pink dress that Madonna wore.
Yeah.
And my husband had been sort of got out of the way for the big reveal. And when he came in his golfing clothes and saw me dressed like this with sort of this blonde wig and blonde makeup, he said, why are you dressed like Margaret Thatcher? Which wasn't the desired effect.
No, that is not the desired effect. And now you've got beautiful hair. I can see a slight hue of a pink. I don't know if that's the light or if you've got slightly pink hair.
It's sort of bluey, I think.
See, I can tell you're a bit punky. And also, you love, final question, because we're going to run out of time on the old Zoom. You love Glastonbury. And you still go every year.
Yeah, got my ticket for this year. Yeah.
And do you go on your own? Is your husband not sort of part of the camping
crowd? The first year I ever went, he told people I was at a book festival. He was so embarrassed by it.
And you love music. You love all types of music, obviously.
I do, but mainly I just love the festival.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic. I go with a friend. We just kind of wander around for 4 days. When I get back, people say, who did you see? What did you do? And I said, well, I can't actually remember. It was just really, there's so much going on. It's not related to music. You know, there's sort of healing fields and people doing all sorts of odd, strange things, and you never use a knife and fork for 4 days or a plate. It's kind of a bit pagan.
Yes.
And it's just a freedom.
Excellent. And the final question is, what book changed your life?
Ooh, let me think about this. Well, I have to say, the one that sort of I reread every year is The Once and Future King by T.H.Y. I absolutely adore it. I loved Arthurian legends when I was a kid. And the first book is the basis of the Disney Sword in the Stone, and it's kind of a children's book, so it's magical. And then the rest of it gets a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever read a book that's changed my life, but that is one that sort of just is there in my life the whole time.
It's been amazing to talk to you, Julie. I could talk to you for absolutely ages. You're so interesting and you've done so much.
Well, thank you very much. I do hope some of your readers get The Village Emporium through their door so they know what I've been talking about.
Yes, and who the lady is. She's the editor. So if you want to find out more, it's The Village Emporium. They are across social media as well. You're on Facebook if people want to find you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so you can look on socials. You will find all the details. And there is actually a website as well.
Thank you very much, Michelle and
You're
Sylvia.
Welcome. It's lovely to talk to you. Sylvia's still there. Give us a wave and a hi, Sylvia. Hey. I'm telling her to wave on radio. Only I could do that.